In the novel, I heard the owl call my name. The novel tells the story of Father Scott, a young priest who is sent by the bishop to serve a village of Indians in a remote island of Canada. If you've never read this book, you need to read it. It is a powerful and compelling book. And this young priest, Father Scott, is sent off to this remote island to serve the Quatticoodle Indians. He doesn't know exactly what he's doing there, but he thinks he's being sent there to help some isolated and backwoods people to know more about how to live and walk and work with God. What he doesn't realize is that his father, his bishop, has sent him to these villagers because he believes that this young man has a lesson he needs to learn. You see, this young priest doesn't realize it yet because he's not ready to hear it. But his bishop knows he has been diagnosed with a terminal disease that's going to take his life somewhere over the next 2 or 3 years. And he needs to learn not how to live, but how to die. The bishop believes these Indians have the opportunity to teach him those lessons. Upon his arrival, the priest discovers these people are not the backwards and ignorant people that he expected to meet. He learns to appreciate their ways, to trust their wisdom, to respect their faith in God. But as he lives among them, he discovers something that surprises him, and that is that there is no word in their language for thank you. He's surprised because these people have become a people of deep generosity in his own life. And as he pays attention, this is what he realizes. They don't say their thanks. They do their thanks. Every act of generosity is returned with some other gesture of love. And he begins to realize their very lives are an expression of thanksgiving. And this year at Thanksgiving, we will gather with the people we love to offer our thanks to the Lord, to remember his blessings, to thank him for what he has done. And we should. But the Bible also says we should follow the example of those people of Kinkill Island, that we should live our thanks every day. To live a life God blesses. And Colossians 1, 9 through 14 tells us how to do that. The passage we read together just a few moments ago this morning is a wonderful passage to read together and to prepare together as we pray together and get ready to celebrate Thanksgiving. So let me talk to you for a few minutes about a life that God blesses. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says a life God blesses is one that follows his plan. Before you can follow the Lord's plan, the Bible says you have to know what God's plan is for your life, for your family, for your church. What is God's plan? You need a working knowledge of his will. And that's what he gives us in the book of Colossians. Verse 9, he says this, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." What does the Bible say? The Bible says we are to be filled with the knowledge of his will. It is to be brimming over in our lives. Here's what the Bible wants us to know. You can't take shortcuts and live a life that God blesses. If you're going to live a life God blesses, then you've got to follow him. You've got to follow him all the way. You can't try to find ways around it so that you can kind of follow him but not completely follow him. There's just no such thing as taking shortcuts. Now, I have to make a confession. I'm a shortcut kind of guy. I will never forget what Judith and I bought for one another on our first anniversary as a married couple. We went to Walmart and we bought a grill. On the outside of that box, you know what it said? One of the great lies in all of human history. Some assembly required. I opened that box, and you know what I found? I found 409 parts and a little book that said, this is how you put your grill together. Now understand something. At that point in my life, I had never one time, not once, put a grill together. But there was this voice that spoke deep inside my heart. And you know what it said? Instructions are for sissies. A couple of years later, when I hauled that grill down to the road to be taken away as garbage, some of it was pointing forward, some of it was pointing backwards. Somehow along the line, we've been able to cook some hamburgers on it, but it was never right. Now, here's my question for you this morning. So why is it that people that can't even put a grill together right without instructions think we can live our lives without God's directions? Why is it those of us who think and find out time after time after time that our shortcuts don't work still to try to take shortcuts when it comes to our spiritual lives? We need the Lord to tell us how to live a life that works. And the only way to know His will is to know His word. Paul uses an interesting Greek term for knowledge in this verse when he talks about having the knowledge of his will. Usually in the Bible, it uses the Greek word gnosis, which is just a basic word for knowledge. But here, Paul uses the word epignosis. And epignosis means full and complete knowledge. Gnosis means I know a little bit. Epignosis means I know everything there is. I know everything there is to know about putting a grill together. I know everything there is to know about how to live my life. I know everything that is possible. And the Bible says God wants us to have full and complete knowledge. Epignosis is the kind of knowledge you want a surgeon to have when he's about to do an operation on you. Epignosis means that you know everything there is to know. And the Lord wants you to know that everything you need to know and follow Him is found in His Word. How can I know, have full and complete knowledge of God's will? Right here, right here. How many times have I said it? How many times will I say it again? Right here. Why do I say you need to spend time in the Word, daily time in the Word, consistent time in the Word? Not because it's a good devotional thing to do. Not so you can feel good because you started your day out right. You need to know what this Bible says because this is God's will for you, for me. And God's plan is that we so saturate ourselves in His Word that we develop an epignosis. A real knowledge, a deep knowledge, a complete knowledge of the Word. Even though we know we're never going to arrive there. We're never going to come to the point that we know it all. But every day we can know a little bit more. A life God blesses is a Word-saturated life. The Word is all we need to know and follow Christ. But if you try to do it without the instructions, you'll get it wrong every time. A life God blesses is one that follows His plan. And so we say to God, thank you, thank you. Thank you for your word. We are so grateful, God, that you have provided directions for us. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to wander through life. God, thank you that we don't have to feel our way along, that we can walk with assurance and live with absolute conviction because God has told us how to live a life God blesses. But that's not all that Colossians says. Colossians also says that a life God blesses has made a serious commitment to walking His way. Look at the very next verse. It says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. The Bible tells us something we can never forget, and that is that God doesn't see any difference between knowing what He wants and doing what He wants. There's no such thing as just having a grasp, an intellectual grasp of what the Bible says, and not putting it to work in our life. God has no use for anybody who has knowledge for knowledge's sake. One of the most knowledgeable Bible scholars I've ever known was a man I met in one of my former churches years ago. He could talk to you about Scripture. He had a deep understanding of what the Bible says. And he could debate with you and discuss with you about almost any biblical subject. But he was also a man who never set foot in a church and whose lifestyle was as far from God as you could possibly get. What am I saying? He had it, but he didn't have it. He knew it, but he didn't do it. He knew everything, but he didn't know anything, because none of it was real in his life. If I belong to Jesus and I know what he wants me to do, the next step is to do it. And that's what Colossians tells us. It describes three ways that we are to walk his way. It says we are to walk fully pleasing him. What does that mean? That means God's pleasure is our first priority. God's pleasure is the first thing that happens in our lives. When I'm making decisions in my life, when I'm trying to decide what is good, what is bad, what is right, what is wrong, what direction does God want me to take? Should I be doing this? Should I be going here? How should I live my life? It's a very simple thing. I don't have to know every rule at any given moment. What I need to do is be able to ask a simple question. Will this glorify God? Will this glorify Jesus Christ? Will what I am doing, what I am saying, how I am living, bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I fully pleasing him? Because as long as I've made that the goal of my life, I'm going to make good decisions. I am pleasing to Jesus. That's an easy goal to set for your life. Now, it's challenging to follow up on it. It takes a lot of work to follow through on it, but it gives you the standard by which you live your life. Am I pleasing him? And then it goes on beyond that, and it says this, being fruitful in every good work. That is, I need to be committed to making a difference for Christ. I want my life to make a difference for Jesus. I can go through my life's journey. I can accomplish all sorts of things, go all kinds of places, gain all kinds of acclaim. But if in the end my life has not been spiritually fruitful, my life has been wasted. If there's never been a time when another person's life was influenced by the faith I have in Jesus, then I really have wasted my time. Because I am to be fruitful, not just fruitful, but fruitful in every good work. That means always looking for an opportunity, always looking for a way to make a difference for Christ. Then the third thing is this, an increasing in the knowledge of God. This is a different term altogether. A while ago we talked about gnosis and epignosis, and now it says increasing in the knowledge of God, and Paul shifts gears again, and he uses another word for knowledge, and this is a word that means relationship. The knowledge of God is knowledge about God. It's not knowledge about God. It is knowing him. It means your personal relationship with him should be growing constantly deeper. And the more you know him, the more you want to know him. And the more you want to know him, the more grateful you are for what he's doing in your life. The more you are saying to him, thank you. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for all of the ways you've cared about me. A life God blesses is committed to walking his way. And then there's a third thing that Colossians says. That third thing is this. A life God blesses depends on him in all things. Here's the truth of the matter. You can't understand God's word through your own wisdom. You can't live to please him by your own effort and determination. You need more than you have. And that's where he comes in. How many Christians have found their lives a failure because they said, this time I'm going to fix myself. This time I'm going to straighten myself out. This time I'm going to make myself the person I ought to be. And you don't have it in you to accomplish those things. It takes the Lord. And he has promised to abundantly bless those who decide to depend upon him. Listen to what the Bible says, verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of the life. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. What is that? What's so important about that passage? Everything about those verses I just read, everything about verses 11 through 13 are all about what God is doing in our lives. It's not about what we have to do or should do or supposed to do. It's about what he is already doing in our lives. Christ will do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Here's something you need to remember and hang on to. We are spiritually designed to be constantly dependent upon him. We are designed to be dependent. There will never be a time when you can live a life God blesses without his strength. You know, I didn't always think it was that way. The truth is, early on in my Christian walk, I thought, there will come this point in my life when I will have read the Bible enough, I will have prayed hard enough, I will have lived well enough, I will have matured spiritually enough that I will reach that point where I can just kind of do this by instinct. You know what I mean? I'll just reach that point of spiritual maturity where I can do this all by myself and I won't need the Lord as much as I need him now. You know what I've learned over the years? I have learned over the years that the more I know him, the more I need him. The more deeply I walk with him, the more I realize I can't do this. I never could. And more importantly, I never will. I am designed to be dependent. You know, it's kind of foolish when you think that way anyway, isn't it? That's almost like years ago I would have proposed to my wife. We would have gotten married and had a beautiful wedding. And I said to myself, now this is wonderful and I love this woman. But you know, there'll come that day when we know one another well enough and we will have lived together long enough and I'll kind of know what she's going to do and how she's going to think. And then we can go our separate ways. I won't need her anymore. Instead, you know what I've learned? The longer I'm married, the more I need my wife. The longer I'm married, the more I realize how much I depend upon her. And the same thing is true of my relationship with the Lord. And yours too. The longer you know him and the deeper you walk with him, the more you need him to depend upon him in your life. Our relationship with Christ is like the relationship that you have that takes place between an automobile and a battery. Now, the car is the thing you see, and the battery is the unseen thing. And this is what we know. As long as the connection between the two is fine, between the seen and the unseen, everything's going to be okay. But disconnect the two, and everything you see is completely worthless. It's lost contact with its power. But when you connect them again, then there is power to spare. This year you may be asking the question, what do I have to give thanks for? Maybe somebody's here and you're thinking, boy, this has been a tough year. This has been a hard year. I'm not sure I have much to be grateful for. Well, Colossians reminds us that because of your connection with Christ, there's some things you can always be grateful for. Look at what he's done for us. What does the Bible say? The Bible says he has strengthened us so that we can live a consistent spiritual life. He gives me the strength that I don't have so that I can walk with him. It says he has qualified us to belong to his family. One of the great lies that people tell you all of the time in this world is simply this: we are all God's children. Everybody's God's children. The Bible says nobody's God's children unless God adopts you into his family. He qualifies you to become a child of God. He qualifies you to receive the inheritance that belongs to God's people. He does it for you. You can't grab it for yourself. So he gives it to you. The Bible says he has delivered us from the power of Satan. That there was that time when the darkness held on to us tight, and the light came in and snatched us away and brought us to God's eternal kingdom. And then that powerful thing, he has carried us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Actually, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he has conveyed us. Now, why is that important? Because that means he came and got you. When he conveys you, he picks you up from one place and he takes you to another. And there's never a time when you have to go there by yourself. He has conveyed you into the kingdom of the Son of his love. He picked you up right where you were. Separated from Christ, lost from God. And he came to where you were, and he found you, and he picked you up. And he carried you home. Only God can do something like that. Only God. What do I have? What reason do I have to be grateful? This Thanksgiving season, I have reason to be thankful because there was a time when I was lost in the darkness. There was a time when I was so separated from God. There was a time when I had no hope. There was a time when I was lost in my sin. There was a time when I had nothing to live for. And Christ came and picked me up and conveyed me to his kingdom. And just like we saw the evidence of in Emily's life today, there came that time when God saved me. And Emily, when we talked at your house, we talked about the fact that he'll never go away, didn't we? And we talked about the fact that nobody could ever make him go away. And we talked about the fact that God said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. You have been conveyed to the kingdom of God's love. And so have we all if we belong to Jesus Christ. Because all of God's promises are yours if you're willing to live the life God blesses. Because there's something that has to happen in everybody's life before you can receive those things God promises. You have to surrender your life to Jesus. Listen to what the Bible says in verse 14. The Bible simply says this: in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. God's promises are for those who have been saved, redeemed by his blood, and forgiven forever. God's promises are for anyone who will simply receive. But you have to choose. I choose to surrender to Jesus. I choose to live for him every day. God promises to do amazing things if you live a life God blesses. This coming Thursday is Thanksgiving. The world is struggling with this holiday. You watch what people are saying on television and the commercials that they're putting on. They all say, let's be thankful, let's give thanks. Nobody knows who you thank or what you're thankful for. But we know, because the Bible tells us, we are thankful for because there was that time when we were redeemed, washed by the blood, and given eternal life. And we are thankful because we know that that God who saved us is the God who walks with us. And we are redeemed because the God who walks with us wants us to know everything about Him. And we are thankful because He has said to us, whosoever will can be a part of my eternal kingdom. Whosoever will can be a part of my spiritual family. Whosoever will can be saved and saved forever. Whosoever will can know eternal life. Whosoever will can know the presence of God in their lives daily. Whosoever will can grow in the knowledge of God. Whosoever will can become everything God has in mind for you to be. Whosoever will. So I guess my question this morning is, are you one of those whosoevers? Are you one of those people who are willing to say to Jesus Christ, you know what? Whatever it takes, I belong to you. I trust you. I receive you. I follow you. I live for you. If you can't say that this morning, if you're lost, if you're apart from Jesus, today can be the day of salvation in your life. Today can be the day when this one who can redeem us will wash you in the blood of His cross and make you clean and forgiven and grant you eternal life. And if you're here today and that's what you need, in just a moment, we're going to be standing up. We're going to sing a hymn, and you can walk forward, and I'm going to be on this side, and Rich is going to be on that side, and we would love to help you learn how to know Jesus and follow Him. Or maybe you're here as a believer and you're thinking, you know, I just need a place where I belong. I need a family where I can plant myself and grow in Christ. And today I come to Jesus. And maybe today you just need to plant your life as a church member in this family of faith. Maybe there's another decision you need to make. As a believer, God's dealing with you. There are things that need to be changed, and you just want to make a new commitment to Him. Is there a decision you need to make? We're going to stand. We're going to sing our invitation hymn. If God's calling you to come, you come. Let's stand together. Let's sing.